Tracks of Life, we back, baby.
Tell them what we got this week.
All right, this week we got my boy Mixed by Ali in the building. Okay, he does what I do, all right? We're mix engineers. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there have no clue what that means, and that's fine. You're thinking, oh, this guy's a DJ. No. What we do is, when an artist creates a song, they send it to us at the end. We're responsible to make sure you can hear everything they're saying. All their vocals are crisp and clean and clear and beautiful, and sometimes not so beautiful. We won't get into that, though. We make sure the drums are great, so you want to dance to it. The whole vibe, we set the whole tone for the whole record. That's what we do for a living, man. But listen, something very important worth mentioning. Ali had no formal education. The guy had nobody around to show him nothing. He literally figured it out as he went. I mean, you got to respect somebody like that. There's something to be said about that. He came up part of a crew we know today as TDE, Top Dog Entertainment, responsible for the sound of Kendrick Lamar, SZA, Schoolboy Q. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now he travels the world with his engineers program, teaching these kids about mixing records. I mean, it's amazing. I love him so much. Episode's great. Check it out. Let's go.
Boom. I guess we could just jump right in, man. We got my man Ali is in the building.
Yo.
I was gonna make like a poster that's like two boxers but it's two mixers
like
head to head with lightning bolts and shit.
Just have my hair like overflowing like on his
my bald head. Yeah. It's just like I'm just going
Monday.
Right.
Now you know I told Jordan Ory, I was like, yo, my man Ali, this and that. He's like, oh, you bringing a competition? I was like, it's never been competition with us, dude. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's heated competition, but.
It's always gonna be friendly competitions. But yeah. One thing about Fabian on the come up when I was like trying to build a name for myself, Fabian was the only person that responded to my DMs to listen to any of my mixes.
Nice.
He's dope. I remember that too. No, because I always tell that story. Anytime we do something together, yeah. It's like, because I remember this young dude and I'm like, oh, he's, you know, cool, you get a lot of messages. And then I'm like, but wait, this dude's dope. And then I started seeing him popping. I'm like, well, fuck.
Here he comes.
And then it's like, oh, there he goes.
Nah, man.
Nah, I'm proud of you, man.
Appreciate you. I always mention to you, man. I appreciate the love always.
It's always love with you, man, for real. And he does a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot with his community and stuff. It's incredible what he does, man. It's incredible.
Right.
Absolutely, man. So we here, bro.
Yeah, we did it, man. I made it on the podcast finally. Yeah. You're posting to everybody but me, man. I felt offended for a little bit. I had to get at you in the DMs real quick.
When I hit him up, I'm like, hey, man, I really love you to come on, bro. He's like, finally. Yeah, that's finally. Literally one word answer. Finally.
Right. Punk ass motherfucker.
That was hair intimidation. Yeah.
He gave me an internet headbutt.
Nah, so what we do here, I was explaining to you a little bit. Mm-hmm. We take our listeners on a journey of your life through music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we could jump right in if you got a song. You know what I'm saying? I would say
the beginning, a song, I would say ADHD from Section 80.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe one song that still lives with me to this day. We dropped it with maybe 2011, 12 maybe.
Uh-huh.
I just loved everything about it. I feel like the message behind the song was speaking to me. It was speaking to our generation. It was speaking to, it really just spoke to me in a way that, you know, I couldn't really even understand at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that at that time I was DJing for Kendrick, I'm able to see the reaction day after day after day in front of thousands of people. And I'm realizing like this song now I'm finally realizing why I'm getting this feeling, because there's something deep inside the silence of the song or the message behind it that's attracting me to it.
Sure.
Which is still attracting, you know, thousands of people around the world. And, you know, that it was just a good feeling during that time.
Yeah, because when you're working on a song.
Yeah.
It's hard to...
You get stuck.
You get stuck. Right. Like, yeah. You may get stuck on a technical of it, or you might get stuck on, like, you know, a particular sound or something that, you work... But then when you feel the reaction...
See, and it's a different thing with me, because, like, I always speak about this. Like, I wasn't, like, a technical guy growing up. I didn't go to the music schools. I didn't know all the terminologies behind, like, engineering and mixing in general. So doing Section 80, again, I always speak about, you know, it was on a stolen inbox that I took off Craigslist and a bunch of cracked plugins. I know my sponsors are going to hate me for saying that, but, you know, I couldn't afford plugins.
That's right. You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. So it's like, you know,
exactly,
100%.
Yeah. They give them to you now.
Right. So being able to create, being able to help put my two cents in and create the song ADHD and the whole Section 80 project. It was a real pivotal moment in my career, because it made me want to dive deeper into what the fuck I just did.
Yeah.
There was so much of me just, you know, putting levers up and down and twisting knobs to see what different plugins did just to figure it out. And it was just a real pivotal time in my career.
So you had no idea what... You didn't know what was about to happen. You had no idea. Nah, you had a feeling, obviously, because it's, you know, the squad is building, right?
I had a feeling because I always just knew. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you're back in the day, it was this specific, it was just, there was this energy around that. It was, you know, like no one ever had to talk about when we blow up. It was just a matter of like, okay, let's get the work done and we're gonna get there type shit. Yeah. So, you know, like the energy was always there, but it was more than just trying to create this project to kind of make money from. It was we're all putting our whole life into it.
Sure. Yeah.
We're all putting the energy into it. We're all just creating something that we all loved.
Right.
And that project came out and and if you listen to that project now, compared to everything else in that time period, it sounded so different.
It sure did.
It sounded completely different. So it was like, yo, like these kids came together. We all came from different backgrounds, different parts of LA. We all had a, you know, just put our creativity together and came with this project, and it meant something to me. So as I moved on in my career, and I had to actually go back and study just the time of creating that whole process and that project, and I'm like, yo, I learned a lot.
That's the best way to learn, though,
right?
And to like get that passion is to just basically like click buttons and turn knobs,
100%,
like, feel it and figure out like, oh shit, like
hell yeah,
that sounds cool. And then you learn why afterwards, because I didn't go to music school either.
Right.
And I always think that, like, if you had given me homework that was music, I wouldn't have done it. I would have just been like, ah, I'm out.
Fuck that. Yeah.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Trial and error is the best teacher. I'm one of the kids, like, they put me in special ed because I was like, I was hard to teach, they said, or something like that. And, you know, it was not just that. It was just my interest. Like, it was, you know, certain things that were taught to you that, you know, in public schools or whatever the situation might be, they teach you what they want. They put you in a box. So they teach you what they want you to learn.
Yeah.
And the same thing with music schools. You know, the music schools, I'm not a fan of them because they teach you one way of doing things, and that's their way, which is most likely, which 90% of the time is going to be an outdated way anyways. These textbooks are from fucking when?
Yeah, and it's no shade to someone, but it's like if you're there, you're not here. Like,
right,
you know what I'm saying? If you're there doing that, you're not out here working.
Right,
so how
how
current could it be? And I'm not dissing nobody. I'm
100%.
It's black and white. It's black facts. And white. You know what I'm saying?
It's black and white. So it's like, trial and error is the best teacher. Everything that I learned is off of me just getting up and, you know, YouTubing it or just getting up and trying shit. Yeah. Like, I do these lectures. I do these Sing Sounds workshops that we have with engineers. And basically, one thing I talk about is back in the day, how I'm able to create these crazy, unique sounds and I have this Rolodex of plugins in my head that I can use at any given moment is because back in the day, I'm able to go through my list of plugins that I had that were most likely cracked. And I took the time to find out what every plugin did to a specific sound. So
yeah, I think there's something to be said too for not like, you know, if you want to do something the right way, these finger quotes, it's a podcast, you can't tell. I put my fingers up.
But if
you want to do it the right way, you ask somebody and they tell you, oh, you got to get this, 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 and this, and this is the only way to do it.
Right.
Whereas like anything, even like, especially on like a vocal or something, you're like, oh, I want it to kind of be distorted, but not with distortion.
Right.
You
just
kind of go through and then
you find something.
It
might be your way.
There's no way somebody can tell you to hear something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? There's no blueprint to a perfect, to a quota. They can't see my hands, quote unquote, perfect mix.
Yeah. And especially too, my thing is always like, unless you have something to compare, like you can't say better or worse.
Right.
Like, yo, can you listen to my mix? What do I got to, I don't know what you started with, so I don't know what your mix is. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, there's garbage,
but
there's not better or worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah, it's so it turns into that. And yo, and for everybody out there, when Ali says cracked plugins, you know, a lot of people don't know what that means. That's, let's not say stolen, but let's just say not authorized.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what a crack plugin is for everybody that, you know, that don't know what that means.
You can't even crack plugins anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can.
The
tech is gone now. Yeah, yeah. Because now you got the thing that authorizes like every 5 minutes. Like I had a problem yesterday with my iLock. My computer kept quitting after 5 minutes because it only goes on for so long.
Right.
They're not cracked or paid for, I promise, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, man. Dang. So, yo, ADHD, that was a dope record.
ADHD is, man, it still sounds relevant to this day. You can play it today and it's, you know, just the message behind it. You know what I'm saying? Just being stuck in time and, you know, just looking for substance to try to like block out certain things and to try to hide things in your life and to try to, you know, just to try to disappear from responsibilities and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's dope.
So it's an amazing record. The whole project Section 80, man, is, for one, all of them, myself, Kendricks, and Soundways, and just the whole core, you know, just the whole TDE camps. It was a real pivotal moment in our whole success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, during that time, we had J-Rock that was signed to Warner Brothers around that time.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so,
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. we're figuring out, you know, we were still learning the business with J-Rock, understanding how the whole industry shit worked out and how that stuff works. So as we're doing that and all the things that we failed to learn and to fail we do, the things, you know, J-Rock really took a hit in the first time around because, you know, none of us had a label experience. Right, so we didn't know how to move.
You just knew you had music.
We just knew we had music and, you know, we had a deal. So we was working it out. So, you know, the whole time when we were working on Section 80, we kind of had that experience from working on J-Rock's Follow Me Home album. So we kind of did things a different type of way. And, you know, it was great to see the outcome of it and just the success of it, you know, kind of just blew everybody up to where they are today.
Hell yeah, man. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro. Damn, man. So eight. All right.
Starting high, setting your bar high.
Yeah, dude.
Man, that's our whole motto, man. You know,
going hard.
Everybody, our whole camp, the way we think is, you know, we want to be somebody on our worst. We want to be better than somebody on our worst days. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be better than somebody on our worst days than they
good
are.
Good is the enemy of great.
100%. You know what I'm saying? You got to come prepared.
It's dope.
Another track.
What about, all right, let me ask you. Not to cut you off.
What's up, man?
Because I get in trouble for that.
Not to cut you off. But to cut you off.
As I cut you off, not to cut you off. I want to know growing up. I mean, what kind of, like, what's the music you listen to? Because, you know, you create a lot of music for the kids of today. But what's the music that, you know, what got you into music? I mean, what brought you there?
What got me into music? It actually wasn't music that got me into music. But the music that I listened to growing up was, you know, I'm from L.A., born and raised. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the West Coast, yeah. Dr. Dre, Snoop, Pac, Game. Mm-hmm. You know, big heavy influences on just how I listen to music. You know, mm-hmm. it's just real. I listen to the beats first. The beats got to, you know, draw me in. And then I listen to the lyrics after. And then that mm-hmm. tells a whole other story itself. And then I listen to a lot of Outkast. I try to listen to a lot of different shit. But randomly, a lot of people don't ask me this question. Mm-hmm. But randomly, I listen to a lot of trance also.
Okay.
A lot of like Alice DJ. There's a lot of trance that I listen to. And I feel like a lot of like my mixing style came from a lot of those trance records that were kind of instilled in me. But I would say what got me into music was just the process. Uh-huh. Just the process of creating something that was never once there.
Okay.
You know, you take an audio file, you take a beat, you know, have a producer, you bring a producer into the studio, he creates a beat with these sounds, and then, you know, you take a artist that writes music over it, the recording, you get the engineer to come record it and piece mm-hmm. it up together. That process is intriguing to me, you know, and Sonics, I love Sonics.
Sure.
I always, when I do these workshops, I talk about, you know, I was just a kid that, you know, I love to break things apart to see how they worked and then put them back together mm-hmm. again. And when I figured out I could do that with music, with mixing, sure. it brought me in that way. And then I just fell in love with it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what's not to love?
What's not to love about it, you know what I'm saying?
Shit. Yeah, it's
smoke,
nice to...
Smoke weed all day and put together songs.
Yeah. Like, I always say, it's like, yo, it's so much work. Yeah, but I get paid to listen to music. Like, what am I complaining about, right? Like, geez, it's like,
right.
You know, like, there's definitely worse things, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
And like you said, like, when you make something from scratch, mm-hmm. and then you see a bunch of people listen to it all at once, and they all go crazy. Yeah. Like,
So imagine that.
There's no better feeling.
Imagine being an engineer, a self-taught engineer in a studio with an artist, and then you're recording these songs, and then the songs blow up, and then now you're with the artist traveling in different countries where they can't even speak English, and they're fucking going crazy, crying, losing their mind over these songs that you once recorded. You know what I'm saying?
And the only English that they do speak is all these
lyrics. It's right. Like, it's mind-blowing.
And then a level deeper is, it's with your boys.
It's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it that much better. You know? That makes it that much better.
Yeah, man. I could. Yeah, I get it.
I get it. I always get sad for bands and musicians that I've toured with that totally miss the experience.
Right.
Like, you're with a bunch of your friends in a random place doing things to make other people happy.
Right, right.
And so many people just like stop and look around and go, holy shit.
Right.
We're in fucking Australia.
Right, right. Exactly. You know,
that kind
it's
of,
a kangaroo jumping by right
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
That pretty much was I mean, honestly, I'm guilty of that. You know, we've done so much traveling over the years to where we get to these places and you know, I'm just chilling on a bus or I'm gonna stay in a hotel room today. Right. You know, you kind of take things for granted and, you know, there's certain things that I do regret not going out and seeing the country as much as I should have and things like that, but you know, just they're good markers to set so we could double back.
Well, exactly,
you know, good markers to set.
And plus, too, it's like it's different for guys like you and I because it's like when you're there, you're exhausted,
right?
Because when you're done, you do the show,
right?
Then when you're done, you're working on a mix,
100%.
Or you're recording this or editing that or making the next show. So it's like I understand. You get a pass. You get a pass, man. You know?
But I'm still too young to just be. You know what I'm saying? You got to get out and hit these streets.
Yeah. That's one thing traveling with Jordan is different because when I go places, I usually kind of, it's based on, I have to stay in the best hotel right. because I'm in the hotel. Like, I don't leave. When I'm with him, yo, he got it all lined up. We find the dopest little bar in right. the corner of this thing that you never would have, like, right, he's right, like, right, that, right. he's that guy. You know right. what I'm saying?
So still
I'm
in the nicest hotel.
Yeah, no, don't get it wrong.
Don't get fucked up. Don't
no, he puts it. It.
We don't stay in hostels.
No, exactly. No, he puts it on some, yeah.
We stay in a hostel. We go to the local Taco Bell. Right. See what they got different on the menu. You know,
I stay in the nice hotel. He stays in the nice hotel in the, you know, presidential. It's different. You know what I'm saying? So
you're reliving the beach. Yeah, with Leonardo.
He definitely stunts on me all the time. That's how he does that.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's a good dynamic.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so I cut you off before, but go ahead, man. Get back to me. What's your next song, man? What's your next song?
Next song, I would say Wesley's Theory from To Pimp a Butterfly. Mm-hmm. The intro to Pimp a Butterfly. Again, that song, that whole project in general, but that song in particular, produced by Flying Lotus. On Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly album, had over 218 tracks in the session. Mm-hmm. Flying Low had a lot of live instruments in there, a lot of live drums, mm-hmm. live upright bass, a lot of things that at that time I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
Sure. So at that time, you know, the type of person I am, the hustler I am, you know, I'll go into a room and say I know how to do it and figure it out along the way before anyone figures out that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Right.
Yeah. No is never an option.
It's
absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No is never an option.
Yeah.
So it was kind of that. So it took me a week to do the drums alone on Wesley Theory. Mm. It was fucking maybe like 30 or 40 tracks alone with drums. And it humbled me because at that time, you know, we're coming off of, you know, Good Kid, Mad City. We're coming off of, you know, Q's, Oxymoron, Raw. You know what I'm saying? And it humbled me in a way to where, fuck, like, what am I going to do? Like, how do I put together all of these sounds? How do I comp fucking 30 tracks right. of vocals yeah. for a hook? How yeah. do I do? How do I do all this shit?
Because they're expecting greatness from you.
100%.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah,
100%.
Because you just delivered a monster. Right, like, you can't be whack. Yeah.
Right. So at that time, I had to play sick, and I took like a week off to go back and kind of study. Mm-hmm. And I studied like the Mo Better Blues soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I studied Abbey Road album. Mm-hmm. I studied a lot of jazz shit, a lot of funk, George Clinton, the Funkadelic shit, nice. Just to understand how if you understand engineering, how to understand how they pocketed and placed a lot of these elements yeah. with vocals over them.
Right.
You get what I'm
best.
Saying?
Yeah.
They did it the best, and they did it authentically.
Yeah. Right.
So I wanted to find a way to merge a lot of that old funk, a lot of that old live 70s type feel with the current mixing in the box type shit that I was doing at home.
Right. You needed that smack.
I needed that smack. Yeah, you still, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You still needed the smack. You still need to sound current, but I wanted to give it that feel. And you know, it took me maybe 2 months to mix that album, 2.5 months to make mm-hmm. the album. And it was a humbling experience because, you know, it was just a lot of things that I didn't understand, again, because I wasn't musically trained.
Yeah.
I didn't come from a musical family background. I didn't come from none of that. Everything was just trial and error with me. And again, with this project, again, it just worked out to be trial and error. I just tried certain things on some of these elements of the records.
Yeah, but you dumb it down. Like, you have a raw talent, my brother.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I mean, I understand the humbleness of your conversation, and I love that about you, but it's like, if you... You either have it or you don't, and you 100%, have it. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. I'm so, not
you
know. Taking. I mean, I'm dope. I'm not taking nothing. I'm not taking nothing apart.
Yeah, my man.
I mean, I'm not taking nothing, nothing away from it. But it is humbling when you're at the level to where you're telling yourself you're dope, and then you sit your ass down in front of this SSL board, and you're
using every channel.
You're using every channel. You're actually tracking like a fucking 20-piece band,
right?
Like, you know what I'm saying, through the board. It's humbling because people are at this time in my career. People are looking at me for like, yo, Ollie, what are we doing? And I'm like, yo, like, let me open Google and figure this out.
I never saw that instrument.
Right, what are you talking about?
Man, it's not an
808,
right?
We had Kumasi Washington.
You mic it up, the guy that's playing it is like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's crazy. Like, exactly. We had Matt Schaefer. He had to come mic up fucking Kumasi, mic'd up fucking Thundercat was recording the same session. We had David Robert Glasper in the same, and Terrace Martin all in the same session.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Some other levels.
What?
Yeah.
And, you know,
and you're sitting there a little shook, but you're solid, though. You were talking.
Yeah, I don't sweat. But inside, though, I'm blowing up.
Yeah, of course.
But it was humbling, and it just showed me that there's, you know, it just showed me something about, it was really like a life experience. It showed me, you know, you just never be complacent, mm-hmm. you know, never feel like you never feel that you got everything covered, never feel like nothing come out the blue and disturb you,
right?
And kind of fuck everything up for you, you know?
Yeah, because it can happen to anybody.
It can happen to anybody, and it was like, and I'm happy I learned that early. So now moving forward, you know, I continue to study, you know, the music coming out today and the music that came out in the past. I study the future music to see mm-hmm. what sounds are going to be hot, what sounds mm-hmm. are potentially going to be the next wave of music. Just trying to stay able, just to stay current, you know, stay relevant. You know, I like to study other engineers that come before me, and that's my main thing, is figuring out how to stay current and relevant in times.
I think that one thing you said too, that usually to me seems to differentiate great people and people that just kind of like crumble, is the confidence to go into a room that you know you don't understand.
Right.
And know that you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people, it's like, you know, like Michael Jordan wanted the ball when there were 3 seconds left.
Right.
He didn't know what he was going to do afterwards.
Right. Right. He wanted that ball.
Just
though.
Give me the ball. I'll figure it out. Yeah, right. I think I think that's what people that fail and don't get back up and try again, as cheesy as that sounds. No, I think that's what they lack. They don't lack the confidence to at least like.
That's 100% right. But they're not knowing that them falling and getting back at that, like that lesson they learned from falling is a lesson they can't learn in any book.
Exactly. It's like you said before, it's figuring your shit out instead of just learning it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
And no one can take it from you. Like those lessons, like I talk about again in the workshops, I'm sorry to keep referencing that, workshops, we talk about like it sounds corny also, it's like, but an L is not a loss, it's a lesson. It's a lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, like again, I was one of those kids that they quote unteachable, but you know, again, like there's a way that everyone learns and there's a way everyone, you know, intakes information, and
sooner or later people are going to realize that unteachable means like
genius.
Just that like there's something in there that nobody else understands. It's not that you can't teach somebody, it's like
you just understand it.
Yeah.
And in their system level, they don't have the you know, in the system, they don't maybe don't have the time or the assets to them. You know, or the patience.
The patience. It's the patience.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Because there are teachers that'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You say you studied the feeling of like old mixes and stuff. What was like, through that experience, like what's the one song that sticks out that you were like, damn, that like that mix and the players and all of that, like they were feeling it.
There was a record, I forgot the name of the actual record, but there's a record on Abbey Road to where they pan the drums like all the way to the right. And I noticed a lot of old school, even with funk and a lot of old jazz, like they did that a lot. They pan the drum, they completely just pan the drums. You know, you had the bass on like, you know, 25% to the left and a snare. You know, it was just the way they placed everything was different. And that right there gave me the confidence to like, yo, like there's legit no rules.
Right.
There's no, what you're taught is snare.
100%.
Right in the middle, right? 100%. Yeah. But you're listening to the greatest album of all time and it's over here.
And I sit back and listen, and I just sit back and think of my career. I think of like what people love me, what love about my work, and I think about just like where music's at today. Like that's how I got my thumbprint in the game, is by making sounds pop out of the speakers, doing unorthodox shit to where vocals are panning and doing
these
things.
That's what the Beatles did when they made that album.
Right, exactly. It's
like they
made you experience the mix. You experience the song rather than just listen to it.
Yeah, it's a story, not a a picture.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know? So that game, it really just gave me the confidence to, you know, just try to do those type of things on hip hop and on today type records, and you know, just to see if we can kind of find some type of marriage or balance between the two.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. It's rare.
Let's take a break and listen.
Yeah, let's take a listen. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah.
Boom.
I should say that again.
Yeah, go ahead, because I fucked it up. So much editing.
No, see, now we, no, now, we, now we're not going to do it again. There it is.
That was it. Boom.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So we back, man.
Fuck with your boy.
It was Come Together.
It was Come Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, the record Beatles, Come Together, Abbey Road.
And fire.
Yeah, even just their whole, like I'm a big, you know, I've never been like a reader, like reading books and shit. But like past like 5 years, I got a nice library now.
Yeah.
But there's this book, Outliers.
Yo, that's what, hold on. That's what happens when you start making so like a lot of money.
Smells like rich mahogany.
Yeah, exactly. Rich mahogany.
You definitely walk in, you move your shoes. Leather floors.
Leather books.
It's definitely incense burning. No, but there's this book, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And there's this 10,000 hour theory. that he talks about to basically become great in any field, you have to acquire at least 10,000 hours in that field. Mm-hmm. And they talk, there's an example through the Beatles and back in the day, how they became great performers. Mm-hmm. And a just great musician is because they went to a small pub in Germany, like on the weekly basis to go perform for like nothing. Yeah. But they did like hundreds of times, like a month or a year, some crazy number. They went back to Germany to go perform at this small pub. And it just got their levels up and became great performers that way. Yeah.
Earning their hours.
In their hours, yeah. I'm a firm believer in that, you know, again, because all the creatives behind TD, a lot of us are not just like musically trained at all. It's just, you know, having this space that Top gave us back in the day to be able to create, you know, back when, you know, I didn't even know I wanted to be an engineer. I'm in the studio getting my 10,000 hours watching somebody else engineer. You know what I'm saying?
It's just, you just wanted to be in the studio.
I just wanted to understand it, be in the studio and just see it. Like, I'm a sponge. Like, you got to stay a sponge and soak up everything you see.
Absolutely,
you know?
Man.
Man, I always tell people that want to get into like Pro Tools or writing or like whatever it is, just like being in the room while people that know what they're doing are doing it is more valuable than I think a lot of people give it credit for. Because you don't realize how much you pick up.
Yeah.
Just based on like conversation or like looking over somebody's shoulder and maybe like just every once in a while being like, yo, what did you just do?
Repetition also, just seeing somebody do something one again. I'm saying, like back when we were doing Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, when I was mixing with Dre, that was the first time I mixed on an analog board, you know? So, you know, I in my mind going into that process, I thought I had mixing figured out because I did everything in the box.
Yeah. Right.
So I sit next to Dre and this fucking monster of an engineer is like going ham on the SSL board.
Tricks that you never think you know what I'm saying? Existed.
I'm like, yo, Dre, like the kick is clipping. Like, it's clipping on the board. It's hitting red. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's little.
What are you talking about, right?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it blew my mind. Right. And it was, you know, just being able to watch him maneuver and work, like I was picking things up because I understand the basics of the process. So now I'm seeing a master at work. I'm starting to understand why he's doing certain things, and I'm watching him, and I'm able to emulate. You know, I'm able to go into my room and emulate those same type of steps and really get my hands on and do them on my, you know what I'm saying? It's a good feeling.
And just understand, like, the efficiency that you need to get a hold of to be able to run a room.
Right. I mean, efficiency, just as an engineer in general, you got to be efficient. You got to have a certain process.
You definitely got to know what the fuck, you know, you got to...
There's nothing more frustrating than, like...
Yeah.
It's somebody that just doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
And you're sitting there and you're just like...
Especially when you're around
there
greatness.
Goes that
you
idea.
Know
there goes that idea.
Right.
There
by the time you
idea,
figure it out, like, I forgot what I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
Moved on.
Yeah. And I find too, like a lot of times I go to the studio and I'll have like assistants there working with me and stuff, and it'll be like, and I'll just put them in the seat.
Yeah.
Because they've been with me for, you know, a month now working on something, right? And they'll just be like, I'm like, yo, but what have you been doing? What have you been doing for a month?
Yeah. Right,
like,
right,
you
right,
sit
right.
next to me all day. What have you been doing? Like, like, yo, come on. I don't eat that much.
Oh, no,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, like, what have you been doing that you don't even... Well, you didn't show me, Bob. I'm like, nobody ever showed me. I sat there and, like, watched.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
I learned, I absorbed the greatness. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
And I tell you, just... I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
but,
no, no.
But I even talk about, like... Like work like interns and like assistants. Like when I go in the choir and look for interns and assistants, like I'm not looking for the ones that, you know, already feel like they're the best. I'm looking for the ones that are willing to learn and to be the fly in the room that's willing to pick up, you know, any information that's being thrown at them.
Right, like, exactly.
Just anybody who's hungry for information, you know, you have to be a weapon in that sense to where you're not the best in the room, but you're hungry to want to be better than even me sitting
of
in that
course.
Chair.
You're supposed to.
You're supposed to. You gotta have, you know, and you gotta keep those people around you with that same fire and same hunger.
Same, yo, when I was coming up, same thing. I was in the room with all the great mixers and I'm looking at them like, yo, I'm gonna eat your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, me and you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the, but humbly, you know what I mean? But I knew that I'm coming for you. You know what I mean? You're supposed to.
Right.
And they're supposed to know I'm coming for them. You know what I mean?
100%.
I was in a band with a guy and, I won't say his name, but, we just got to this point where he wasn't getting any better at anything. And his excuse or his reason why he disagreed was, I go into all the same rooms that you go into.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but that's the point, is like, just being in the room doesn't work.
Right.
You got to be in the room and be open.
Right.
For sure.
100%.
Just like, be open to like hear one little piece and you should never walk out of a room and not have learned
something. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But you got to take advantage of any opportunity. Like just being a creator nowadays, like everyone's click is so tight to where like to get involved with, if you're an outside creator, to get involved with anything that's a knit circle is tough.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? So like the easy,
as it should be though.
As it should be. Now, I'm not taking it from it. As it should be. But I'm speaking to the creators that that, you know, didn't come up with a Kendrick Lamar, right, or didn't come up in all of our environments.
And trying to get in.
Like, it's tough, but it's like those are the ways to those are the ways to kind of get your foot in the door to kind of understand certain situations. This is by just being that fly on the wall, being a body that's helpful, being an asset in the room when needed.
Helpful, that's the
being healthy. You know what I'm saying?
That's the point, though, because you see so many people that just go in there and, like, you know, somebody leans over their shoulder and is like, "Hey, can somebody get me, like, whatever?"
Right, just get up and go do
you
it.
You should be the first person. If you're the least important person in the room, and I don't mean as a person, I just mean in terms of jobs, you should be the first motherfucker up out of the door going, like, "I got three of them." Then,
right?
And you got this. You keep the attitude, though. It's kind of like even when you're not, you still should. You're like, "Yo, he needs it. All right, cool." You know what I'm saying?
Because that's how somebody's gonna be like, "Yo, that guy's cool. Yeah. I like that guy. He's a hard worker. Whatever. Right. Let's 100%. Give him a chance." Yeah. Or like, those are the
people.
Dinner.
Those are the people that I fuck with. The people that are just like the people that are not sitting around with a handout. The people that are making me feel like I gotta pay you now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, I feel funny not paying you.
Right. There's so many people that come around certain. You know, even with me and what we're doing, like it's my whole crew and TD's whole. Like how it works is everybody just wants to be seen and want to come around with providing zero value.
Right.
You know, just come around and just be an asset in any which way, and then you can start setting your price.
I don't got time for friends. I got enough friends. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's got, you know what I mean? Like, for what?
Yeah, we're all on mission. Cool. Like,
if friends happen, great. Awesome.
Right. But I'm not looking, I don't need you around me. Like, get out of here. Like,
I'd rather be friends with the guy that can tune vocals super fucking quick than the guy that takes a mean sit.
Exactly, right.
A mean sit.
Not a regular one. So, all right, come on. I want to hear another song, man. What else you got for us, bro? Now that you're in the vibe, I see you in the zone. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I'm a little comfortable now.
Yeah, I see you. Lean back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'll say a record off Nipsey album. Mm-hmm. Last time that I checked, man, I'll just say it's hard to kind of, I work on so much music, hard to kind of pinpoint one record.
Same, he knows.
You know what I'm saying? It's mad hard. So I would say the Nipsey Project, you know, when we were doing the Victory Lab, we're mixing that album. You know, my boy Nipsey, rest in peace. It's funny because during that time, he kind of explained to me that he never had a project mixed before Victory Lab. Like, what they did was basically put songs together and put them out.
You could hear it. It was raw, had this raw thing to it. 100%.
So it was like that right there. It made me feel like it was more special. For one, Nipsey was always my boy from way back. You know, a lot of people don't know, back when Game did his LAX tour, J-Rock and Nipsey were the openers.
We toured with them way back in
2009. But yeah, Victory Lab, man, it was that whole experience just... It brought me back because during that time I was working on so many albums, so many projects to where I haven't been stationed in so long. I haven't basically been still.
Right.
So mixing that album, you know, we did that Paramount. We spent around like 2 months doing it, and I was going through a lot
together.
Okay, yeah, we were like living there, and it was you know, if you know Paramount C, there's the bedroom, shower. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I was dealing with so much personally in my life, and I never even spoke about this before. But I had a baby at the time. You know, me and my daughter's mother weren't doing too well. You know, I was dealing with a lot of personal shit to where I wasn't there mentally. And I almost, during this time, I was like, I was borderline wanting to give up in music. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I felt like I pawn at that point to where I was saying, I was doing so much for other people to where like I almost forgot about myself.
Okay.
And, you know, getting past that album and just being there with Nip and just having a conversation. Like, Nip's just like my bartender during that time. Like, having like 2-3 a.m. conversations just about life and about a baby that got coming I wasn't ready for, about all type of other shit. And it straightened me out because it gave me a place to, it's hard to speak without not being emotional. It was just a time to where I'm sorry, brother.
No, it's fine.
No, you're good, man.
It was just a real good time because as much as he needed me for his sonics on the album, it's like I needed him for like my mentor. You know what I'm saying? Just giving me a place to where I'm not sitting with idle time and thinking too much about negative shit and not, you know what I'm saying, being out in the streets drinking or doing no crazy.
Like just being a lunatic.
Being a lunatic, you know what I'm saying? At that time, I was dealing with a lot of that and just that whole process, that whole album, you know, because it took so long to mix the album, it gave me a place that I needed to be at on a daily basis to where...
Instead of being wild.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of moving out left and
so you needed that. Needed the music, like it needed structure, you type of thing. Yeah.
Right. And during that same exact time, we were trying to do the Black Panther album. And, you know, I mixed like five on the Black Panther. I didn't do that whole project for the first time. And, you know, it was, you know, it was the time to where, you know, I had to pick and choose between do this Nipsey album and do the Black Panther album. But I wasn't there all the way mentally to where, I don't know, it was just the space that we created at Paramount. It was, I needed that space mentally to be able to move forward just as Derek Ali, not the Mixed by Ali. So that whole album and time in general was vital to me to move forward in music.
Okay.
It was vital to me to just move forward as a man in general.
That's deep, man.
It's a lot. I know I'm kind of beating around the bush about a lot of this shit, but it was, you know, that album, you know, it's something I'll never forget, you know, not even because of the circumstances, but because, you know, it was a real tough time in my personal life.
And damn, that's special. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's special. Definitely.
Jeez. Like, a person like me, I'm an introvert to a certain aspect of things. You know, I don't share too much. I work my ass off to kind of keep away from a lot of negative shit, as a lot of people in our field do.
And so, I mean, if you're like me, what I'm hearing is we did choose the size of the business, a side of the business where we are alone a lot. We
100%.
Like, that's for an introvert. Like, we're in a room by ourselves most of the time. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, or, you know, one or two folks with you. You know what I mean? But it's like, but it takes a different type of person to do that. You know?
Right. You know what I'm saying? And those studio sessions, like, they're vital to just keeping you sane. Like, music to me is more therapeutic than anything, you know? Like, it gives me a place to call, like, a real home and a real sanctuary to where, like, nothing bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could play these music. I could play this record on the Osbergers as loud as it can go. Can't nobody bother me.
Right.
And I'm just in the music.
You're in that zone.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in the zone, you know? And that's, you know, that feeling is why I'm so passionate about, you know, my mixes. I'm so passionate about even this brand that I'm building, Engineers.
Uh-huh.
I'm so passionate about just bringing the art of engineering to as many people as I can, because, you know, it's something that it changed my life in multiple ways, multiple times. But also, there's the art behind it. It's like the unsung hero of music, where people are just not appreciating the fact that, you know, without the engineers, a lot of this music wouldn't sound the way it sounds.
Exactly.
And a lot of the engineers, these artists wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be moving the way
they're
they
not. They're definitely not them without.
Right.
I think new artists don't even realize how important engineers are.
100%. I'm sorry to keep rambling now.
Dude, no.
But that you saying that new artists don't understand mixes. I work with a lot of new artists coming out. I'm sorry about this.
Hey, you're
a lot of new artists coming out and, you know, trying to mix their songs on an SSL board and getting like a clean, crispy sound. They're not understanding the process. They're not understanding.
It's not always mixing it fixes things. It's right. Like, A mixer can't fix something that was done wrong.
It's not even that. It's like, why doesn't it sound like the reference? And like, the reference is distorted.
It's horrible.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yo, I got a comment this morning. I kid you not. New artist. We're not saying no names.
Yeah.
Yo, I hate the mix. He took out my ad-libs. No, why would I take out your ad-libs?
Right.
You obviously didn't send me the right session and the right reference, because they weren't in the reference either. But it's like, you don't even... they think that's the mix. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then they don't even hear the difference. Like, if it's louder, it's better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they don't even know the difference, man. It's hard.
I do shit. Like, if an artist say, hey, maybe turn the vocals down at half dB, I'm already smacking my face, because, like, for one, you're not hearing
half
dB.
You're not hearing it at all,
So I'm just saying I did it, and I'm like, you like it? Like, I love it. It's perfect. I haven't done shit.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. You know,
a lot of artists that I see just want something to say nowadays.
Yeah. What I do is I give them something to say. Yeah. I like would literally have a guitar like fucking screaming loud, and they'd be like, yo, turn it, why the guitar
turn it down?
Oh, damn,
you.
No, be like, no, you're right, I'm sorry, turn it down. Then they got it off, they got their you know what I'm saying, they got their comment off, you know what I'm saying, so they felt like they got to say something.
Fabian with the keys,
and then wah, wah, you know what I'm saying, so
Fabian
I give them
that
little, you know,
I like that. Ooh, man. I'm gonna try that tonight.
Yes, yo. Alright, yo, I got another. Alright, let me ask you another question. I don't know how much time you got with you, but yo, when you're cause I'm interested in this, man, and I hope it's not nerdy or boring, but because when I don't listen to the music I work on ever.
Thanks.
Thanks. Well, except for Jordan McGuire, Flexible. Check it out now on Hits One Radio. But
Rooney,
like, what do you listen to? You got what's your vibes? Like is when I'm at home, like, yo, I listen to like old Spanish. I don't even speak a word of Spanish,
right?
But I listen to like old Hector Lavoe and a bunch of old
Spanish.
Tell
me you at the house doing the salsa.
Yo, you listen.
If you get into his car when he didn't know you were about to get into his car, the shit that's on like 10
blasting,
is like
blaring Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're just talking about you playing, so you're mixing songs, shoot this guy in his face, and then I'm playing. Then you get in the car, it's like it's either fucking
La 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 Bamba,
or yacht rock. You know what I'm saying? So what's your vibe? You got some vibes, man? Like you got what do you chill? What is Ali chill to when he's not making the hits, man?
Honestly, man, that's kind of, I'm kind of the same lines with you. You know, when I'm not, I work on so much shit, I hate listening to music, because I just constantly critique it.
Yeah.
I constantly tell myself what I would do different.
Right.
And even with songs that I've worked on that's out already, I'm constantly saying what I would have done better.
Yeah.
So my listening experience is so fucked and jaded right now. But when I'm vibing, I like smooth shit. You know, new artists that I fuck with. I fuck with a lot of the YB and Cordae.
Mm-hmm. He's dope.
Yeah, real dope. The new Tyler album is crazy.
It is. Yo, it's crazy. Yeah.
Retarded. I kind of just listen to whatever catches my ear, like any genre. There's a lot of stuff I've been listening to in Brazil, like this genre called funk that I found via Vice. Mm-hmm. It's like this funk genre where it's a lot of just like just percussion shit with deep bass.
Okay.
And repetitive vocals. It's dope. Uh-huh. And this chick from Jamaica, Coffee. Oh. She's like a reggae artist from Jamaica. She has a project called Rapture. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah, Coffee. All right. With a K. But other than that, man, I'm just constantly just studying what's out or what's been out in the past, you know?
You're always on.
Trying to as much as I can. Yeah, no doubt. It's crazy because when I'm in the car, I don't listen to shit. I make it a thing to not listen to nothing in the car. That's my thinking time.
Okay,
So the only time I do get to listen is at home or
I feel so good sometimes to get in your car and like...
Just silence?
I'll get in and like, I'll be 5 miles into my drive and go... Oh, I never put anything on.
Right.
Best shit ever.
Yeah.
You're like, I needed
silence.
That.
I'll
put an audiobook if I do drive. Sometimes it'll be like an audiobook to try to get
Or the Tracks of Life podcast.
Yeah. Which are the Tracks of Life podcast. There it is.
Boom, man. All right. One last question, man. Then we're going to let you go.
What's up?
All right. You get one album, Desert Island album. You're stuck on a desert island. You can listen to one album for the rest of your life. Can't be a compilation, so soundtracks are out. I think The Bodyguard is like the one exception because it's
I would bring The Bodyguard was my choice.
Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
But what's your one Desert Island album? Greatest Hits are okay. That's not a compilation. Just multiple artists you can't do.
The Love Below.
All right.
The Love Below. You got all different. If it's one album I'm stuck with forever, I got different feelings. I got different elements of the. I got different. It feels like I got the jazz shit.
Yep.
I got crazy hip hop. I got real vibey shit. I got different elements of music throughout that playlist. You know,
that's a dope answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I like that, man.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite answers, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck with your boy then.
Yeah, you know, Ali's
shit. I shouldn't have given you that much.
Yo.
Gotta make you feel like I don't know. Was it a good answer? I don't know.
Let him think about it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. We should have just gone, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
My boy, Mixed by Ali. Thank you for stopping by, man.
Yeah, man.
All love, man. All love.
Tracks of Life, baby.
It's going to be a good playlist.
This is for sure, man.
Run it.
Told you guys.
That was so good.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this podcast. We bring on the people you love.
Oh, yeah.
And the people behind them that make them who they are.
Right?
I mean, it's just amazing, man. We're going to keep going. We love y'all. Tracks of Life, baby.
Yeah, check it out.